B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, everybody! We are the... Oh, sorry about that. It's the Over Under Show. If anyone knows what that reference was about, I gave it 9 minutes today. 9 minutes, and I said, out! But good morning to everybody. We are live. We are live. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Tucker Silva is here. Everyone had to clear their cars out today, I assume, unless you own some sort of indoor garage. Because that was fun, huh? Yeah, a little shovel in the morning.
It wasn't that heavy. It was fun.
It wasn't heavy. That's the good thing about it, you know? But it's a pain. So if you're waking up or you're out there or you're about to get out there, or no snowblower today. You can just use the old muscles today. You know, just use the, make sure you bend with the knees. Bend with the knees is the trick there. Dan Lifshatz, I am on a little bit of a heater right now.
Glad you are, because someone needs to be, considering I'm the opposite.
You know, when you do bad, well, at least you're admitting you're in a little bit of a slump. But you know, I got to tell you, it's not easy, and that's why they call it gambling, right? It's not easy. For example, in the NBA last night, the Utah Jazz were going on a 10-game winning streak. They were 19-1-1 heading into the game last night against the Clippers, who they beat the night before or the game before. The line was -1 Utah. I smelled it. Laid off the game, and at halftime, Utah was down by 9. They were 2.5 second half. And thanks to some officiating and free throws and things to that degree, they covered the second half. So I got a little action in on the second half, and they lost. So I gained myself 5 points.
Nice.
And it won the bet. So have that. I had the Celtics last night, like, circled big time. And they should have won that game by double. I think in the end they did win by double digits. But, like, that fourth quarter there got a little dicey. And it went over the total, and it shouldn't have. 225 was the total last night for those who watched the Celtics game. 225.5, whatever it was. But overall, Celtics win. They cover. That was a game they should have won, considering some of the heat that they're feeling around town and the performance they had the other night. And it was good to see Kemba Walker play well. So I think a lot of people, you know, won some money last night on the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bounce-back spot. We kind of talked about that Thursday and thought that, they probably should win this game. And you know, they haven't been as bad as the record indicates. And, you know, it was a good spot for them last night. Kemba Walker looked like he could actually play, you know, compared to what he's been, you know, in the past few games. He abused Trae Young and wore him down defensively. Thought he was the reason they won last night. He played very, very well. You know, that's what you expect to see from the Celtics pretty much night in, night out, especially against a team like Atlanta. I mean, you know, people say Atlanta's in the, you know, in the same sort of, you know, same sort of level they are. I don't agree with that. I think Atlanta's you know, a step below at least where the Celtics are or should be. And you know, last night they looked like it.
Just around the NBA quickly, the Warriors lose to the Magic last night. Surprising, since they came off that win against the Heat the other night, down 15 in the fourth quarter and won. It was interesting to see them lose last night. The 76ers, man, and Joel Embiid. I mean, is it time to put Joel Embiid in the MVP conversation?
I mean, he's been in the MVP conversation. He's like, yeah, he's second in the MVP conversation. I think he's... I think that he should be the MVP over LeBron.
What are the odds right now? Do we have any odds? Let's look them up. We'll look it up during the break.
Embiid's +300.
Ooh, here we go. Right off the top of the noggin.
Yep, LeBron's +150. Jokic is +400. So, I mean, it's those three in the MVP conversation.
So I agree with that, by the way. LeBron's the most important. I mean, I know D'Anthony Davis probably will be in the end, but LeBron should be an MVP candidate, definitely.
Candidate, yes, but I mean, Embiid is
the reason why the 76ers are what they are.
Yeah, Embiid or Jokic is the MVP.
And so I was going to say Jokic, what he does for Denver is outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, he got a 40-point night against the Celtics the other night, and when he goes, the team goes. And, you know, the thing with them, they need a third scorer, dude. You know? Like, does Bol Bol even play anymore?
Nope.
Like,
Michael Porter doesn't play defense. Yeah. They're stuck in that scenario almost kind of like how Boston is, but at least Kemba Walker, you know, when Kemba is healthy, and you know, like last night, I mean, Kemba was, you know, looked fantastic. So, you know, at least Boston has a guy when he is healthy. You know, Denver doesn't even have that guy. I mean, you know, you're hoping that Porter becomes that guy, but he defensively, he looks lost.
Jamal Murray's a great scorer. Another 50-point night last night.
Yep.
No free throw attempts, which is the only time that's ever happened in NBA history where a guy scores 50 points. Actually, that is amazing. There'll always be that great debate, Dan, about Jamal Murray versus Jaylen Brown. I will say this. At the time, I wanted the Celtics to select Jamal Murray. And I think it was more of a Kentucky thing. We saw him more often. The contract's better for Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's a better two-way player.
I think Brown's just a better player in general. He plays defense. He's a wing. It's a more valuable position than, you know, point guard, which, I mean, there's a lot of good point guards in the league.
I just don't want to discredit what Murray does, though. He can put up some 40-pointers.
He's a really good player. I don't think anyone's discrediting him. Just like, if you're asking me who I'd prefer Jaylen Brown. I think I'd prefer him over, you know, Ingram and Simmons as well, who were drafted ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close, but
I'm interested to see what the line is for the Celtics on Sunday when they take on New Orleans. They blew a fourth quarter lead last night. They got outscored 41-12 in the fourth quarter last night. And that seems to be the theme for me around the NBA lately. There's these fourth quarter leads are getting crushed. And I put in a bet this week, Dan. And it's after watching the Lakers versus the Nets. So I'm not going to toot my horn or whatever and say that when the Nets deal happened, I thought they were the team to beat. I thought they'd figure it out, or maybe they'd move on from Kyrie. And I just thought they'd figure it out. And there's too much talent on that team. Now it's like, you know, Harden is steering that drink now. With or without Durant, like they're gonna win this thing. I took them to win the championship plus 400.
I mean, when we did the NBA preseason pod, I had the Nets to win the East. I will stick with that. I don't think they're gonna win at all. I mean, I think that there are probably two teams in the NBA who can, you know, probably beat them in a 7-game series right now. I would say that's Utah and the Lakers, and I'll be consistent with that.
They beat the Lakers. Granted, it was without Anthony Davis.
I mean, there was no Davis, no Schroeder. Like, you know, that's and again, they didn't have Durant either, so it's kind of hard to really judge the game off that. But in a 7-game series, I still think that Brooklyn doesn't have the defense to stop LeBron and, you know, Davis from doing. I mean, they have no one to guard Davis. No one. I mean, it's going to be DeAndre Jordan, and Davis will win that matchup, you know, 7 times out of 7. So it's I don't think Brooklyn can beat them in a 7-game series. I think that there would have to be significant additions at this point to do that. I think you're looking. I mean, you'd have to get someone very good on the buyout market, in my opinion, this week. Again, it's just my opinion. I just think that the Lakers, to me, are the best team. And I still think the Jazz would give Brooklyn a very good fight in 7 games. I wouldn't take the Jazz probably, but I think they are the other team that could be Brooklyn in the 7-game series. That's all. But I think Brooklyn will win the East. I don't even think it's that close. I think it's Brooklyn and Philly right now. I mean, Milwaukee finally got their first win in, you know, however long it's been. It felt like ages. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there.
I'm on a heater, Dan. 7-1. I think I'm 5-1 on posted plays this week. We did our podcast on Thursday. Hit Iowa outright as an underdog. Ohio State ended up covering. The one game that I think, you know, I thought maybe was not right was Houston-Wichita State. They won outright. San Diego State also won. Gonzaga barely covered. Like, I mean, they were right on the number. And then last night, the only game that I was on, we discussed it, was that St. Louis game. Dayton won. Yeah, Dayton won. They blew them out, dude.
Yep.
And then there was one other game last night that I don't remember.
It was Boise? The Utah State Boise game. Yeah, Utah State was up by 7 in the first half. They're up at 7 at half. They were up like 10 or so at one point, too.
Boise's legit now, man.
Boise came back and won that game, won by 4. I thought that was a huge game for Utah State to have a chance in the conference. And Boise State probably wrapped up the number one seed with that win. I mean, they you know, we'll see. Colorado State's a game and a half back. Boise, you would have to lose both games at San Diego State. It's possible. I mean, it's definitely possible that Boise loses the grip. But one, you know, two games left in the conference, and Colorado State's 1.5 back. San Diego State's 2 back. Boise State, I mean, huge win, dude. Huge win. Colorado State will probably go 2-0 versus Air Force, though. So, I mean, it's, you know, they have a week to prepare.
All right, well, let's line them up today. We got a loaded Saturday. I'm awake. I'm off. Dude, I got nothing going on. I'm off after this. I'm going to Market Basket. Going to buy some stuff for the day.
Nice.
Why do I have a hunch what you're going to do with said stuff?
Yep, probably going to use my little machine. But I'm ready. We got games at noon. We any FCS today? We go.
Yep.
I got UFC bets tonight, baby. Oh, I might bet all the doggies tonight.
There's a ton of FCS football today if you want to get into
So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at those lines and I'm eyeballing those lines. Like, I might have to do a little bit of research later on today, but
if
we get football on today, I'm watching it, baby.
There's games today and tomorrow, and then it really, really starts next week is when the big slates start. But we got Morehead State, James Madison, Southern Illinois, North Dakota, Samford, East Tennessee State, Mercer, Wofford, Davidson, Elon, and WCU Furman.
Yeah, Furman, baby.
And we got Edward Waters, Jackson State, Austin Peay, Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, Williams Austin Peay.
And North Dakota State.
Oh, North Dakota. Oh, no Trey Lance, and, though, unfortunately.
Tarleton State, New Mexico State. Those are all tomorrow.
Trey Lance should have stayed. He should have played and said, screw the, because there's no combine, right? He should have played.
I believe that since he's playing, he wouldn't have been eligible for
the
draft.
Yeah, I think there might have been some rule in there.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about, Joey. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's Saturday morning with the Bankroll Boys. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number. If you want to jump aboard, Tucker's here. He'll answer your telephone, ask for your name. What you want to talk about, he'll put you on hold, and then we'll go to you. There's a ton of soccer going on, Dan, today. I wish that I love World Cup soccer. Like, oh, do I love World Cup. Even the damn thing that happened this year I watched. What the hell was the name of that, by the way? The MLS is back tournament?
Yeah.
Dude, I bet the Revs every single game. They went all the way to the final. Semi-final or whatever it was.
Yep.
But I enjoyed that. It was like something to watch. I just can't. There's too much of soccer going on for me to. What, you got Bundesliga today. You got
Prem, League One,
Premier League. And I know it's great. Trust me. La Liga. I know it's great stuff. you know, it's funny. We could talk sports on this station and whatever. But the second that little machine gets mentioned, the phone lines light up. The Twitter handle lights up. I don't know what it is about that machine, man. But it's got everyone excited these days. Especially on a snow day like today, you know?
It's a good air frying day, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that much. The little air frying machine. I didn't say it first today. 617-779-0985. Wake up calls coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We did a podcast on Thursday night. For the most part, on Thursdays, we discuss Thursday, Friday games and do some future stuff on there. I just wanted to tweet a couple of things out there real quick. The Milwaukee Bucks finally broke their streak last night. Do you know that in the last nine games, they're 0-9 against the spread in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, that's not a good start for them.
No, they've...
They know how to chase, though. I'll tell you that
they've had a rough stretch here. I mean, they're not a good starting team. They haven't been all season.
You know, just real quick while we're on it, we talked about the Nets. How did the Bucks think that, you know, one move for Holiday could make them a title contender? Because like, how are they? Like, here's the deal, right? There's some bad contracts out there for guys that can like. I'll just use Russell Westbrook for an example. I understand that the guy was a former MVP. I know there's some bad things about him. But, like, isn't that a dude that can, like, put them over the top? And I know it probably wouldn't work out because of the salary and all that. But just, I don't know. I feel like the Celtics went young and it's not working out. You just mentioned there's two or three. Dan, there's two or three teams in the league. That's it. And I mean, if you look at the standings, it's like...
You could probably include the Clippers.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't, but you probably could.
You could. And listen, I think the deal with... They looked good last night. And maybe, I don't know what it was. Maybe they were motivated to beat the Jazz after getting embarrassed the other night. And I think when Paul George plays well, they're a different team. But, you know, who's their big? Like, if they get beat in the post, like... They have problems, you know?
I mean, that's what they ran into last year. That's what they couldn't defend Jokic. They couldn't defend Jokic. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was instrumental in that seven-game series, obviously. But, you know, not much of a surprise there.
But the more I look at it here, like, if we're thinking about teams that make moves at the deadline, they need to get better. Like, need to get better.
I mean, again, I think when Milwaukee adds... You know, a guy like Jrue Holiday, it's because there's not much else that they can really do. I mean, you know, they gave up first round picks and swaps as assets as, you know, the main part of the deal. There's not a lot of teams out there that are willing to, you know, take late first round picks. Now, I mean, the swaps, you know, maybe they hit on one and one of those is, you know, they're hoping that, you know, they go for the home run and one or two of those is. You know, pretty valuable, but I mean, you know, the likelihood is, you know, maybe you get one really valuable pick out of that trade. In general, just the late first round picks, they don't hold a lot of value in the NBA anymore. They haven't held a lot of value in the NBA for quite a while. It's why the Celtics fans always say, oh, you know, two, three first round picks, no problem. I mean, you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown locked up for years. Outside of like catastrophic injuries, those picks are not going to be worth anything. The Celtics won't be a lottery team. They're good. They're a good team. They're going to be a good
team.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad what Danny Ainge came out this week and said that they're not the roster's not good and that they're not going to win a championship this year, and that didn't go over well with the Celtics fans this week.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Oh, no, he's transparent. There's no doubt about that. It's just, you know, Dan, they could have avoided this.
They're not 500. They're not a 500 team either.
Yeah, they're the team you saw last night that can blow teams out and, you know, against a good team, blow a late lead. But they hung on. I will tell you this, Trae Young, dude's a special player. He's small, though, and that's going to be his biggest downfall. But he can shoot from anywhere. He's fast.
He looks like a better version of what Isaiah Thomas used to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still just way faster.
Yeah, he's faster. He can shoot from anywhere. But, I mean, defensively, he's lost. He can't defend anyone. Kemba abused him.
It's just unfortunate, like, these small guys can't defend in the league, man. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to remember, like, Muggsy Bogues back in the day. Like, yep, you know what I mean? Like, just like these small dudes could always somehow defend. And now it's like, don't worry. You're 6 feet. You don't have to defend.
I mean, that's also the state of the NBA now.
Yeah.
It's
a completely different game. But, hey, Peyton Pritchard's playing hard out there, you know. And he was a guy not known to play defense. I see him out there playing D. For the Celtics. All right, Dan, a big day in college basketball today, and I figured, you know what? Let's do some wake-up calls. All right, off the bat for me, I have Tennessee, Dan, your boys, Kentucky, going into Tennessee, covering the 7.5 today. Tennessee on wake-up call.
Interesting. I mean, it's not a bad look. I have Villanova on wake up call today against UConn. UConn got Bouknight back. They looked so much better when they actually have a legitimate scorer. I mean, I know it was only Providence, but they dominated that game. The scoreline doesn't reflect how lopsided that game was with Bouknight. Again, I know it's a road game. I still think UConn is going to give Villanova problems today with that 6.5-point spread.
For me, Duke, you are on wake-up call. I know you're a 2-point dog. You're at home. It's a Saturday night. You're playing Virginia. I think Virginia wins this game today. And I think that line will move in Duke's favor because it'll be a late-night game. People want to bet that one. I think Duke, wake-up call today, baby.
I will go with I'll go with Missouri. They're on wake up call against South Carolina. They have struggled badly. I took them last week against Arkansas. They were horrendous in that game. Loses a 3 straight now, including a road game versus Georgia where they got blown out by 10. Missouri's fading down the stretch and badly since that Alabama win that they had a week or two weeks ago. Got crushed by Mississippi, who's red hot, but still, I mean, they lost by 21 there. Lose that Arkansas game in overtime after pushing it to overtime and then just get blown out by Georgia on the road. Things don't get any easier for them. They have to face Missouri, you know, Mississippi again. Texas A&M's an easier team, and then on the road to Florida. They have a brutal schedule to the end of the SEC year, and, you know, I think there's a chance that South Carolina upsets them again today. They just have been playing so badly, it's hard to back Missouri right now.
I'm looking at some teams in the Big Ten, which I do want to actually look at the Big Ten. We'll spend some time on that coming up in just a little bit. One more team that I have on Wake Up Call today is Kansas, right? I know you look at it and you say Texas Tech is better than Kansas. They have to go to Kansas, and Kansas is a favorite today. So you know what? Kansas, you are on upset watch today. I like Texas Tech in that one.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech won the first matchup, I believe, at home. Or, sorry, Kansas won the first matchup, I believe, at Texas Tech, if I'm not mistaken there. Yes, Kansas won by one at Texas Tech. You know, a little bit of a revenge spot for Texas Tech here. Neither team is playing super well in the Big 12, although Kansas somehow is second in the Big 12, which is crazy considering the up and down year that they've had. They weren't ranked for a little while. Not that the rankings actually mean anything, but, you know, They weren't ranked for a little while. They're you know, only two games back of Baylor in the conference. There's still a technical possibility that they can win the conference, which is crazy to me. I think Oklahoma's a better team. I think West Virginia's a better team. I think Texas Tech's a better team. We'll find out if Texas Tech gets on that road to a little bit of redemption. They've struggled in the Big 12. They're 6-5 this year.
Anything else for you, Dan, on the wake up call today?
No, I mean I think those would be the two that I look at. I mean, you know, I'm sure people would take a look at that Pittsburgh Florida State Ooh. Game. You know, Florida State has been playing very well in the ACC. You know, coming off a real big win over Virginia, it's kind of a letdown spot on the road. They start a 3-game road trip, so you know. That's possible. Florida State finishes with 4 road games in the Final Five. So, I mean, you know, they might slip up here or there. It's possible. I mean, it's not like Pittsburgh is the easiest place to play. I don't see, you know, anything else really major today. I think Virginia's going to win that game, too. So, I'm not going to put them on wake-up call.
All right, I have a thought on that Florida State game today. Also, there's some the Pac-12, the greatest conference in the world. As Bill Walton, what does Bill Walton say? Actually, what's his line on the Pac-12? Anyways, I love Bill Walton, and Dick Vitale was on the Iowa call this week. I love like Rafterty, like all those guys. I love like the nostalgia of the college basketball broadcaster that's out there, but I do have thoughts on that. Also, the baseball lines are out, and a prognosticator, a Vegas insider, has projected a Patriots opening line for their win total. We'll have all that. Again, the phone number here, 617-779-0985. We got UFC on the table tonight, NBA, college basketball. Of course, there's futures out there as well. The UFC fights tonight as well. So everything on the table. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll talk to you right after the break.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here in 98.5, the Sports Hub is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Hello, everybody. We got a little Lake Tahoe action tomorrow. You excited for that at all?
Not really.
Me either. I get no buzz.
I mean, the like pictures from like the stadium it looks pretty cool. Like it's a, you know, it's a cool view and everything, but in like just regards to like the actual game, I don't care. It's a, you know, it's a regular season hockey game.
Yeah, the only thing that I might look at as far as betting in that game, remember the Winter Classic they had at Foxborough? That was a crap game. I'm sorry, that was crap. Did they score? I'm trying to think. It's funny, we talked to Andrew Raycroft the other night, former Bruins goalie. He played in the alumni game. He was the goalie for the Bruins against the Canadians in the alumni game. And he said that there was more action in that game than there was in the actual game. But I'm pretty sure there was, because I remember driving, everyone was pumped, like everyone was going to the game.
I think it was like 2-1.
It was 5-1. They got smoked. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. They didn't score, they got smoked. It was like 5-0 at one point.
They scored in the third period. Yep. Bolesky got a goal. I'm looking it up.
Matt Bolesky.
Yep.
Wow, what a great, huh? What a great trade that one was.
Not exactly their best trade.
Oh, woof.
Yeah. I mean, it was gross. Montreal scored like a minute into that game.
And the first one was cool, right? That was Fenway Park.
Flyers.
Everyone liked that one.
Yeah, that was a good game. I think the Bruins won in like overtime or a shootout or something like that.
Why don't I see a line, Dan? Is Philly playing tonight?
I
don't see a line yet for this game.
No, I don't think they would have that line out for Sunday.
Really?
You probably want to know the goalies and everything. It's probably too early.
All right, I have an early line. DraftKings. Boston -200.
Wow. That's high.
That's very high. I don't have a total, though, Dan. But I'd lean 5.5, 6.
200 for the... wow.
That's too much. They're going from Boston to Lake Tahoe.
It's a neutral site game. Yeah.
You're taking a bus in. I don't know. Wagner was on the station this week saying how they're going to go from the hotel to a bus to the arena.
The consensus is -205. So DraftKings out there -213, a little bit higher than the consensus line. I mean, the Bruins being these massive favorites, and they've owned their division. Like, don't get me wrong, but they've struggled, you know, in the past three games scoring goals. So yeah.
Do you think it's Krejci? Coyle sucks. Sorry, Coyle. I know you're local, but
I mean, he doesn't suck. He's struggling out of the gate. I mean,
sucks right now. Excuse me.
Yeah, he's having a tougher time. He definitely does not suck. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hockey page for you on the ESPN. Just pure music because there's nothing else there. Yeah, I mean, Coyle's struggling pretty badly, but without Krejci, they're going to struggle to score in that second line, man. They just are. It kills their depth, which is what they capitalize on, being able to roll three really good lines, and then your fourth, you know, bang it up, mix it around the line. And so when they don't have that, it's a different look.
Well, speaking of that, and I'm only looking at the total. Philly can score. Bruins 3-2 New Jersey goes under. 4-2 against the Islanders went over. The next three games, 1-0 Rangers, 3-2 Rangers, 2-1 Philly. But the game before that, it was a 4-3 overtime win. I think the line will be 5.5. I want to say over before the entertainment factor.
I mean,
but could the ice conditions be weird?
It's an outdoor game, man. So you never know. It looks like the conditions are going to be fine. The views are really pretty. It looks like a really cool place to play. They've met four times this year. It's gone over the total three of the four times.
Three out of four. You know? There you go. Yep.
You know, there's 9-7-7-3 goals. So I mean, you know, these teams are when the teams are scoring, Boston -200 is a very heavy line to lay for a team that has not played well their last three games. I mean, that's the fact. They beat the Rangers 1-0, but just in general, like, you know, you lose to the Devils. The Islanders lost. You know, the Islanders are still a good team, very talented. The Devils lost, at home. That's not a good loss, and especially when you're only putting up two on that team. Like, if you put up three and you lose 4-3 and maybe Rasmus isn't having a good game, you know, that's something. But to lose 3-2 against a team that just is much, you know, way more inferior than you at home, which right now I'd say home ice actually matters more without the fans.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I feel like just being home without the crazy COVID restrictions that all these teams have right now, the NHL is... You know, it's literally just like go home, go to the ice, go play your game, go home. Like you can't do anything. So, I feel like almost being home instead of traveling is a bigger advantage now with the fans in hockey than without it. Just because I think these guys talk about how it's like a mini bubble, and that's tough.
Kicking everything around this morning. Yeah, obviously there's with football winding down. I just want to say that this is the time of year to build the bankroll. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, when there's so many football games on the weekend and prop bets and things of that degree, you got a lot of money going around. You know, here you can concentrate, nitpick, take stabs. Again, last night, the Utah Jazz, I saw the -1. I didn't want to take it. They made a nice little comeback before the half. I thought they'd keep it close. Bet the second half and won. But that was a spot, you know, just a spot. Built a bankroll up for me for tonight, for today. I think this is the time of year to do it. And Dan, I remember the experiment a couple of years ago. I bet every first game of the tournament. Woof. Woof. And I crushed the conference tournaments.
Yep.
When I tell you that, I forget who it was. I rode Murray State once, all the way to the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game.
Ja Morant.
That was the Ja Morant year, exactly.
Yep.
And I rode them and rode them and rode them, and I faded them in the tournament. What was that about? They won that first game too. But yeah, you won't win in basketball betting every game. It will not happen. That is the one sport that I will tell you, if you bet the board that day, you will not be positive at the end of the day. It's the one sport where a three-pointer, foul shots, an and one, a missed free throw, anything, turnovers late, putting in the scrubs late, half-court shots. I've seen it all. I have seen it all. And, you know, there are some games I think that are on the slate today that might not be top 25 games that I think there's some value in. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk to our buddy Dan. Dan's in the car. What's going on, Dan? How you doing, bud?
Hey, guys. It's been too long. I feel just lost.
Where you been? Where you been, dude? I've been betting your Oregon Ducks, my man.
That's why I want to talk. I hate talking about Oregon, especially when it comes to the spread. Like I've said to you guys before, but you know this Utah team. This game tonight.
They're tricky.
Utah. They're 4-8 against the spread.
They beat teams that are good. They beat good teams.
Now you see Oregon. They're on this 3-game win streak right now. You know they played Arizona State, Washington. They won all three. Utah's lost. Go ahead.
I thought they lost to Washington though. Go ahead.
No, they won.
Okay. But
Utah's lost to Oregon State and they lost to Stanford. I think the key to this game is going to be that kid Chris Duarte.
So Duarte had a little bit of a rough shooting night the other night against who they play late night there, Colorado. I watched that game. Who's the big man on Oregon, dude?
Oh,
6'11", dude, played tennis.
Amori.
That dude is a freak athlete.
Amori, I can't remember.
I can see top 10 pick out of that kid.
Now, the line here, I mean, it's at 9.5 now. For some strange reason, I'm seeing some money pour in on Oregon minus 9.5. I do not like this Utah team. You know, they're terrible against the spread, and they haven't played Oregon since last year. Granted, you know, there's no Peyton Pritchard, there's no Ball. I'm just going to go back on what I've said before. You know, I'm going to back this Oregon team minus 9.5.
Ooh, see, yeah. I've watched Utah.
Get me out of it, Joe.
You know, listen, I think they're playing very well. You know what I think is really good in Oregon games? The under. Like, they cracked down and played defense, dude. What do you got tonight? I'm trying to look at a total here. But that's probably something I would look at tonight.
140.5.
Yeah, and Wisconsin's not a high-scoring team. Not Wisconsin. Utah.
Yeah. They struggle breaking 60.
There you go. So, I think the way Oregon plays... Ooh, 140. So it was 140 against Colorado the other night. It stayed under. So you might want to, you know, yeah, I can see back-to-back unders there.
I see it. I see the Utah team. You know, like I said, you know, they're struggling to break that 60. But Oregon, who knows whether they're going to go up. You know, even if they score, you know, even if it's 70-60, I think they're going to cover that 9.5, and it'll still go under.
Well, dude, this is the time of year where teams get hot, right? Oregon's hot.
Oh, yeah.
They start. Remember, they got a lot of love early in the year. They didn't play well. They missed, I don't know, a month for COVID?
Oh, yeah.
They got a good team, man. Kid Richardson's not bad either. I've watched them play. I still think USC is the best team in that conference, but UCLA is tough to beat at home. If I flip the coin, I think Colorado's better than Oregon, despite Oregon winning the other night. And the tricky team for me in that conference is Stanford.
Stanford's a good team.
Like, De Silva's a, you know, really good player there, and Arizona really hasn't lived up to expectations, but that's a hell of a conference this year. Arizona, Stanford, Colorado, Oregon, UCLA, USC. And Arizona State's got some real talent, and they're bad this year. And even Washington State's played well. So
it hurts my heart hearing you say that Colorado's better than Oregon. But that's just my Oregon fan in me.
But you know they played the first time and I had Colorado in that game. That's why. So all right, Dan, appreciate the call, buddy. Good luck today. Dan, I wanted to bring up a quick baseball win total segment. We'll bring that up. And actually, there's a record-breaking win total that we need to discuss.
Yep.
Coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, talking baseball. Do-do-do-do-do. We're talking baseball. Do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like the music for it, you know? All right, Dan, the win totals are out for Major League Baseball. Some surprises on here, but I think the NL West here, the old Padres, 92 wins, 9-1 odds to win this year. Which is interesting with the whole Tatis deal that happened this week, which I still... Dude, I'm going to be in my 50s when that deal's up. Think about that.
I mean, it's a... I think it's going to end up being a pretty good contract for the Padres.
I've never thought about anything in my 50s. Like, think about that deal.
I know.
Tucker, in 14 years, how old is your kid going to be?
16.
He'll be driving a car.
Yeah.
He'll be driving a car when that deal is over. The Dodgers plus 350. Look at this. What's the win total here?
101.5.
101.5, which is the second largest win total in like what, almost 40 years?
Yep.
What are you thinking, Dan, on that one?
I have no idea, man. I really don't know. The Dodgers have so much pitching depth. I mean, Dustin May, who would probably be like the Red Sox number one or number two starter, is their sixth, you know, man out of, he's gonna be a reliever. You know, you don't even know where Julio Urias is gonna, you know, slot in terms of being a starter there. The amount of pitching depth they have is insane. Their lineup is fantastic. I mean, people barely even talk about Will Smith, who the catcher is. I mean, he's been, you know, he had a fantastic year. They're loaded from top to bottom, dude. I mean, really, they re-signed Justin Turner, they signed Trevor Bauer. They're ridiculous. I mean, they should win. That division sucks outside of San Diego. It does. I mean, Colorado trades away Nolan Arenado. San Francisco is still in the middle of rebuilding and you know, kind of retooling everything there. Arizona, you never really know what they're going to be. They're up and down every year. You know, they still have some bad contracts, like the Bumgarner thing. It really hasn't worked out super well for them. Their win total is 74.5. I mean, I can't imagine the Dodgers don't get to 100 wins this year, but... I also think the win totals are going to be affected by the amount of games that we actually play this year.
That's true.
And you know, I kind of look at baseball win totals as I do like you know, college football. Like we didn't get into like, college football
like,
win totals.
You're right. If they don't play 162 games,
no, they all get canceled.
All the bets will get canceled.
Yep.
So yep. What are we even doing talking about this?
So, I mean, that's when we did the...
Doesn't that suck?
When we did the college football, that's why, I mean, usually we do like three or four podcasts just on college football win totals. We did one, and we talked about it for, you know, an hour this year. It, you know, it sucks, but...
101.5 games, and if there's a pandemic or they don't play 162, this thing gets washed out.
I mean, I'm assuming that there's going to be COVID issues early on in the year. Like, maybe later on, like, when all the...
Well, they're all going to be in spring training in Florida, so that's going to be an issue, I think, off the bat.
And when... But at least you could, like, make up games on the back end if all the vaccines are out, but you don't even know...
And then
know
there's seven-inning games if they play doubleheaders and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, this is screwy. Let's just have some fun with it. The Padres, 94.5 wins. I'm going under... That's a team that's built. They look good. They look good on paper.
They do. They had a really, really good year last year. They're a lot of fun. There's a lot of injury history in that rotation.
They got a rotation though. They're six deep.
I mean, they do, but like you're also relying on a couple of kids to like, you know, to give you something if you have some early injuries early on. Like you go Darvish, Snell, Lamet, Paddock. And then, you know, I'm not a huge Musgrove guy, but as a fifth starter, I mean, I'd gladly take him. Then you have, like, Mackenzie Gore, who probably will be called up to the show at some point and replace, you know, whoever's injured. He, you know, he's a top 10 prospect. Like, they have the depth. It's just there's a lot of, like, you know, Clevenger's on the 60-day DL. You know, I don't know if they're going to get him back at any point. Did he go under Tommy John surgery? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
You know, so I mean, like he's gonna miss the whole season. So I mean, you know, they have a really, really, really good rotation. Should they go over 95? Yes, but you play the Dodgers so many times, like I'd say it's gonna be way closer than people think. I'd go under. I don't think the Padres and the Dodgers will go over. I think one will go under.
Last one, Red Sox, 80.5. Some places this is under 80.
Yeah, I've seen most places.
I'm going to tell you this right now. PP. Have we said that yet this morning?
We have not.
Over 80.5 wins, Red Sox, lock it up.
I lean that way too. I do. They're
going to play defense this year. That's Cora came out, and I know we got to hit the break. Cora came out and said your defense has sucked the last 2 years. They should be better in the infield, right?
I mean, they have a lot of position versatility. I'm not sure how great their hitting is going to be.
I don't know about their outfield. That could be tricky out there.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, we still don't know about Jackie Bradley, right?
Well, I don't think they can sign him under the tax unless he takes a shorter deal.
I mean,
that's why I don't think it's going to happen. But Verdugo is going to play center. They're going to be putting that Franchi guy out there.
Franchi Cordero.
Who's in right there?
Cordero is going to be interesting. The Red Sox are a good team, man. They're not a good team, but. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they finish around the 500 mark. It's not something I love. I don't desperately, you know, am not begging to take the Red Sox over. If you can get a 79.5, which I think is still out there, I'd probably, you know, try and look for that instead. But yeah, they're not as bad as being portrayed by, you know, a lot of people like us either. Like they're not that bad.
I think the manager will make them a better team this year.
Renfro's going to get a lot of playing time, too. It's going to be Verdugo, Cordero, Renfro. They'll probably add another outfielder.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.